Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. Before you rack up too much credit card debt this holiday season, here's an inside look at a system designed to favor debt collectors and disable consumers. When debt gets too old or can't be collected, banks sell it, not piece by piece, but in huge volumes, thousands of unpaid bills at a time, often decades old. That debt is often sold to third-party debt collectors who then use the court system to collect those debts. But that court system itself isn't a place where consumers can fight back. It's, in a word, rigged by the law itself. Peter Holland is a consumer rights lawyer in Maryland who's been following the debt collection industry for years, and he joins me now. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Take a second and walk me through how big volumes of thousands of unpaid bills can be churned and turned into what I'm led to understand is a $100 billion a year industry of debt collection.
What happens primarily with credit card debt, but now it's happening with student loan debt and car loans and things of that nature, is after a certain period of time, a bank, if they have, say, $100 million worth of credit card receivables outstanding, they get to tell the regulators and their investors that, you know, they're looking really good, they're looking healthy, they're owed $100 million. What happens, though, is the IRS says that after 180 days of an account not getting paid, suddenly that account can no longer be considered an asset, an account receivable. Now it switches over to a liability. And so what has developed over the past couple of decades is this whole secondary market called the debt buying market, where banks, as you said, will just package and bundle debts and sell them to investors, debt buyers, who are literally buying an interest in a claim. The problem that has developed is that the banks and the debt buyers have gotten together and said, we're going to sell you not only our good accounts, but we're also going to perhaps be selling some of the not so good accounts. And some of the accounts that we're selling may include accounts that were already discharged in bankruptcy, accounts that have already been settled, accounts that are the result of identity theft, and accounts that we don't have the documentation to prove either that the person actually owes it or that the amount owed is accurate.
So, Peter Holland, a lot of the claims may be legitimate. A lot of them may be erroneous. But then what happens when these debt collectors turn around to collect, let's say, $4,000, $5,000 from a consumer, from Joe Smith or Mary Jones, who they say owes them money? What happens?
Debt buyers literally flood the courts. Typically, you know, for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, what most people would call small claims. And the business model is to file them, and they understand that on a $2,000 lawsuit, most people simply aren't going to respond. And the judges feel, you know, judges have reported they feel no option other than I better just sign off. It's a default judgment system.
Peter Holland, this sounds like the kind of situation that's ripe for a countersuit or a class action lawsuit.
The problem is that class actions in this country and in this context are often defeated by forced arbitration provisions in contracts. What it means is that somewhere in the fine print of, say, a credit card contract you had with your bank, it says you have no right to sue us in court. We can sue you in court, but if you want to come after us, you will get no judge, no jury, no right to appeal.
So what's the best recourse here, Peter Holland, for individuals?
What needs to happen in this country is forced arbitration in consumer contracts needs to be eliminated.
A debt collection system in the United States that seems to tilt the power decidedly in the favor of debt collection companies and not consumers. Peter Holland, consumer rights lawyer from Maryland. Thank you so much.
Thank you.